Okay, we are picking up for the Gemara and Beis Amud Beis. We are five lines from the bottom. Rav Maski Flar Rav Shimi Min Harda. Just to remind ourselves what we were talking about over here, we had the Shita of Rabbi Eli. And Rabbi Eli was seemingly problematic because he cut down a fruit tree. So the Gemara says, how is he able to do that? How is he able to cut down the fruit tree? So the Gemara says that maybe he held like the Shita of Rabbanan, and because we quoted Rav Nachman, who said that even in an early stage, it's an usher to cut down the tree. And maybe maybe that was only the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. However, the Rabbanan disagreed and really hold it's not a fruit, and really he wasn't destroying fruit trees of Shriya, so there is no problem. The Gemara objects to this answer right now. The Gemara says, Maski, Flar of Shimi Minar Da. Shimon doesn't like this explanation. This machlokas that we just established about when it comes to the shomer, the pri, when it came to the pri over here that we're discussing is only by certain fruits. It's not by everything over here. It's only what we're just discussing above with regards to the dates and things of that nature, but not every single fruit. So it says the Gemara, how do I know that? That's not because only grapes. Grapes are what we're discussing above, not other things. That's not the Mishnah tells me, when we not down the fruit trees in the year of the Shemitah, Beishamai says that all the fruit trees from when they start bringing their leaves, which Rashi says, is around the time of Nisan. However, Beis Hillel argue, and they say, Beis Hillel omrim her charuvin mishiyar shishu, when the carob trees, when they literally conform these type of chains, which Rashi explains, is from when the fruit tree gives the appearance of being formed into chains. That's when it's usher. And Beis Hillel apparently hold that regards to certain trees, the fruit has to be somewhat developed before being usher to chop them down on Shvius. When it comes to grapes, they're not going to be cut down, turning on to the next step. But now, Mishiyagireu, that when they literally are forming the types of a girua, migareu is a shear, which the Gemara is going to design in a moment. When the nates develops, also an early stage of growth to dates, that's when it's a problem. So usharklanos mishiotziu and other all trees, the Beishamai is going to hold when they bring their fruits. So that is Shita Beishamai. Rav Asir Vasi, in explaining what a girua is in the Mishnah, he said, "Hu boser hu girua hu polalav." And the boser, which we mentioned earlier on yesterday's daf, again was the time of the grapes being early in the early stages of the grapes being formed. That's called boser. And then girua is the same thing as a white bean. So the Gemara says, "Pula vansa gleitak." What do you mean? We're talking about grapes. What are you comparing a white green or a white bean? He's discussing grapes, not beans. So what's going on over here? Ela ema shi'uro kipulavan. Rather, we're saying that it means that it's the size of a white bean. Ravasi is teaching us that the term of boser and girua are basically the same halacha. That they're referring to developing grapes which had not grown to the shear of a pulalavan, yet they have not grown to the shear of a white bean, which is therefore not usher yet, not usher to cut them down. So we see from Ravasi that the lashon of girua mentioned in Shvius Mishnah is referring to grapes, and that is mentioned by the Shita of Rabbanan. Umancha might lay down our boser in smardar lo. So now the Gemara is fleshing it out. And who have you heard in the Mishnah Shvius? The term boser is considered a fruit, and therefore you can't destroy it on Shvius. And a grape is not. Rabbanan, that's the Rabbanan, who are arguing on Rabbi Yossi, and yet we're establishing such a Mishnah is now Shitas Rabbi Yossi as Rabbanan. And what did the Rabbanan hold? The Ketani, Sharkal, and Osmash Yotzius. So they made a chiluk in that Mishnah. Now we've just established that Mishnah is according to Rabbanan. Now that we've successfully established that Mishnah is according to Rabbanan, then how could it be that the Rabbanan themselves in that Mishnah tell us that when it comes to other fruits, that when they have their trees, when they bring their fruits, rather, when those trees bring their fruits, that's when it's going to be usher to destroy the Shemitah. So what do we see? That the case of grapes is the only machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan. However, in the case of all other fruits, not like figs or anything else, when they start to form is when Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan would actually agree to that halacha, and therefore there is no basis for Rabbi Lai's understanding that he should be able to destroy the fruit tree of the berry, because at the end of the day, the way we're explaining right now, the Rabbanan would agree that it's usher to destroy the berry. So how could he destroy this tree on Shemitah? So the Gemara now answers, you're right, so therefore we have to change what type of tree was Rabbi Lai cutting down? El Rabbi Lai bin Dinishane cuts. He was cutting down a male palm tree. A male palm tree, they're not able to They're not able to ripen and have other fruits grow from them. And therefore, says Rashi, that is not an issue, because at the end of the day, therefore, they're not an issue of having fruit, because you're not being mafsid any fruit. There is no fruits on them. Just to agav, that Rashi quotes out that the melen bekli kapos tamarim, I think it might be very shemar and sukkah, but that's also the halacha with regards to, it's an halacha with regards to lulav. You can't use a male lulav because it might not be kapos tamarim. It might not be because it's not able to actually grow anything, and that might be an issue with regards to lulav as well. But so this is a kula with regards to shriyas, but maybe it will lead to a chumra in regards to halacha of lulav. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, we learn in a braisa, Ochlin Vanavim ad Shiichlu Dalios Shel Ochel, that we're allowed to have the now we're just giving different, again, we're discussing the idea, mitzvah of getting of biur, of getting rid of the produce once it's not available to the animals outside in the streets. So now the Gemara is giving different times. When does that happen? So the first one is, Ochlin Vanavim Shiichlu Dalios Shel Ochel. They're allowed to eat the Shemitah grapes in the house until the grapes in the place called Dalia Shel Ochel, that's the name of a place, Rashi explains, and that was, they had a lot of vineyards over there, and there, that area, says the Gemara right now, that's when you're allowed to continue eating them. However, if there are ones that are later than these, the Gemara was just assuming right now, this is the latest one, Ochlin Aleim, you're allowed to eat based on those as well. So that's what the Gemara is suggesting right now. Ochlin Bezesim Ad Shichla Achron Shebetakoa. Now the Gemara says, when it comes to olives, what's the latest one? The last ones in Tekoa are not available, that's usually going to be the last one, so then you'd be allowed to, in the surrounding areas, you'd be allowed to rely on eating them in your house. Tekoa, I'm pretty sure that's where we have the Gemara talks about how they needed to get the oil from the mitzvah of Chanukah. They need to get it from Tekoa. Rabbi Eliezer says, Ad Shichla Achron Shel Gush Chalav. Now apparently Gush Chalav, which is a place where Rashi says an area in Asher, that has a lot of olive trees, maybe that was even longer. So then you have a right to rely on them. Kadeshi Ani Yotze, until a poor person goes out and finds olives, but ino motzi lo benufa lo bikovarova, and he's not able to find in any parts of these trees, so that would be what the Gemara is suggesting. So that was the getter for these olives. Now, just to point out that Rav Yashar just asked, at the end of the day, it's not based on an ani, it's based on an animal. So Rav Yashar says that this must have been a simen for the fact that an ani goes out and doesn't find olives. It means that the animals also aren't able to find out, and then you can no longer have your olives in your house, and you have to go be mafkir them. Ochlin begrogeres at shichlu page beis heni, you're allowed to have the dried out figs until the area of the Beis Heni. That's the area apparently which was near Yerushalayim, and they were to have the longest shelf life, that they'd be able to have more available on that area than anywhere else. So once they're not available there, you're no longer allowed to have your fruits in your house, and you have to mafke them. The Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, lo iskira beis pagi heni, ela leinan meis no. The halacha with regards to beis heni, with regards to these figs, has nothing to do with the halacha of shmita and bir, of getting rid of your fruits. Rather, it has to do with meiser, that we learn, bepage beis heni, ve'ane de tunia chayavin b'maser, the figs of beis heni, the dates of tunia are going to be chayav in meiser. Therefore, we're telling you, that we're telling over here that the halacha is that with regards to these dates, that they're not going to be subject to the halacha of mice, that they are going to be chayav and mice rather, and therefore it has nothing to do with the halacha of when the biur has to take place for these dinin of shmita. Now the Gemara continues with another bray. So Ochlin Utmar, we can continue eating dates from the palm trees in Yehuda at Shichla Achron Shebet Tzor, until the last ones of Tzor are available. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Ochlin al Ben Kifin. So this is the bray that we actually quoted up before on Nunbeis in yesterday's daf. We had this bray that tells you that when it comes to the palm branches, you can only have them when they're stuck between the branches over there. However, if they're between the thorns, we mentioned that it's not accessible for the animals, so therefore it's not considered available even for the animals at that point, so you can't rely on the fact that there are some dates available in between the thorns over there. So the Gemara says that, is that really true? Now the Gemara, we're bringing that back up to ask a stira, Uraminu, that Braisa seems to contradict the following Braisa. Ochin ba'anavim ada Pesach, you're allowed to have grapes stored in the house until Pesach. V'zitim ada taras, with regards to olives until Shavuos. Begrogeres ad Chanukah, and figs, dried figs, you're allowed to have until Chanukah, but tomorrow I'm out of Purim, and dates you're allowed to have until Purim. The Amar of Beibar, said, Rabbi Yochanan Tarti Basraisa Machlef. Rabbi Yochanan would invert the last two cases. I mean, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Braisha should tell us that you'd have Tmarim until Chanukah, and Grogeres you would have until Purim. So now, regardless of how the Braisa is read, it seems to be a stira with the first Braisa. The first Braisa establishes that the Zman of Biur and Yehuda is going to be Tzohar. However, the second Braisa is telling you that it's the time of Purim or Chanukah, depending on which you hold, if Rabbi Yochanan's gears to change or not. But either way, that's not based on Tzohar. Rather, it's giving us seemingly a pretty specific time of when it Lechora is going to be problematic. So Gemara says, maybe we can give two different Terutzim to explain this stira. The Gemara says, Idiv Idi Chachirav. You could say that both of them are referring to the same time, It's generally the same time, and generally when Sohar is done, it's the same time. Either it's going to be Hanukkah in that Girsa, or Purim like that, whatever the Girsa was, that is going to be the same Shiur. That's the first one. So Sohar is another way of recognizing when it's not available anymore, that when it's not available in Sohar, that was around the time of Hanukkah or Purim. V'ibayis'ima, or you could give a different terutz, Hakatani behedya, the Braisa says explicitly, im yesh mucharin behen ochin alayim, that if there are ones that are later, that there are later, so then you can rely on those. So then we're telling you that when, if you want to look around, so meaning you have to assume, by say, the Girsa was Hanukkah. So by Hanukkah time, you have to assume that it's already gone. However, you can go send messengers to check in Sohar because they actually have the latest ones. We're just giving you a get at what's the latest city. And if you look that Sohar still has available dates, then you can continue eating yours and you don't have a problem. That's what we're being mechadish over here. That Sohar is just the latest one, and it could be that it'll extend it later, that if it's still available there, it might be able to continue past the general deadline which that we're giving you. Now the Gemara continues. Tanya, we learn in a brace. Bishon Megamil Mar Som Siman Laharim Milin. So, that seemingly is not relevant to the discussion we just had above, is that what is a simon? How do you know when you're in the mountainous range when there's trees there? Simon lamakim dekalim with regards to what is a simon? How do you know what's considered a valley? That's where there's date palms there. Simon lenechalim kanim in regards to what is a stream is where there are reeds there. The Gemara's going to mention what's the nafkamina between all these things in a moment. Simon leshvela shikma with regards to how do I know a simon, a sign that this is a halachic plain is going to be if there's sycamore trees there. Those sycamore trees don't have any fruit. Even though there is no proof for this, I think it's referring to Shlomo Melech. He took the kings made of, he took the thing made of silver and stones. And he silver and stone and common and stones. He made the cedars as abundant as sycamores in the plain. And we see that the lashon of plain of a shvela is referenced to shikamim, that the sycamore trees are there, and therefore we see that the sycamore trees are going to be there. So why isn't this a beferish araya? Shirashi points out because it does imply that they're in the plain, but it doesn't prove that necessarily that that's only the definition of a shvela. Maybe that this one happened to have the in this plain it happened to have a sycamore tree, but I don't know generally what the halacha is by other shvelas, what the halacha would mean, what's defined as a halachic shvela. Now the Gemara continues, Simon Laharim Milin. So what is and simala amakim tkalim? So what are these two nafkaminas? Nafkamina lebikurim. The lacha is with regards to bikurim. We know that the first fruits a person has a chi of daraisa in Eretz Yisrael to bring them. There's going to be some migdash now in Rosh Hashanah. I'm not getting into that, but in the ma'isa you had it to bring it to the base of migdash and to bring them to Yerushalayim. This nan ein mevian bikurim el mashivas haminim. However, the lacha tells you that you can only bring them from the shivas haminim. How do I know that? Because by bikurim it says asher Rashi quotes asher tavi me'artzicha. You have to bring it from your land, and we learn in Menachos that it says artzicha we have gzeirah shava. We know that the artzicha to eretz chito sora gefen teina rima eretz zeishem advash. That eretz artzicha to eretz we're learning gzeirah shava to teach you that just like that the shevach Eretz Yisrael is dafka by the shivas haminim. So too when it comes to bikurim you have a chiyuv to bring the shivas haminim. So you have to bring shivas haminim. And now we're telling you they also have to be chashu, they have to be good. So lo dekalim hashavarim. So we're telling you that date palms that are in the mountains apparently are inferior, and therefore that's not considered. That's considered something that you have to bring. They're exempt from this mitzvah, and therefore you're not. That's why you have to know the date palms are not in the mountainous range. You're not going to be chayav in shivasim in him and bring them to Yerushalayim. Lo imperish shavamakim, and not from the crops that are in the valleys either, because those. Rashi points out those also they wither and they rot, so therefore those are not going to be you don't have to bring those either. So now the Gemara continues. So what is the siman on nachalim? So what's the idea that the siman to know that something is a stream is reeds? What halacha nafkamina is that? Nafkamina the nachal esan. The halachic significance is going to be with regards to a nachal esan. We know by the egla arufa the Torah tells you that if you have a dead body between two cities, we measure which city was closest to, and they break the egla arufa and they ask Hashem to have a kapara. So now you have to bring it to a Nachal Esan in that city. You have to bring it to a... So here we're defining it as a stream. So what is considered this halachic stream? A stream that's flowing? The stream that's flowing, it has to have... It has to have reeds over here. That's the halacha. That's what we're telling you. Siman Nachalim for this halacha. Just to point out, the Gemara in other places seem to define Nachal Esan as just a hard rock valley. That's a shaila. So how do we? The Gemara Nida seems to say that. That's a steer. Okay, not getting into that right now. But that's a lemaisa. That's always usually defined. That's always remembered the definition of a nachal esan. Being here, the Gemara is saying it as a stream flowing with reeds. Interesting other gedder. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says siman la shvela shikma. So what is the lachik? The fact that it's a something is a plane if it has these sycamore trees. So the Gemara says, Nafkamina lemekach hamemkar. The halachic significance is the regards to buying and selling, that if I sell a shvela to you, or if I sell a plane, it has to have the shikma. And if it doesn't, then it's, you can claim mekach tois, you can claim that it was not a fair sale, because generally that's usually a sale. Halacha is that when someone is cheated in a sale, we don't say too bad. We say that the halachically you're allowed to go back, bring into Beis Din, and show that the sale was really halachically invalid. So you're allowed to do that if you don't have these sycamore trees in the shikma that the guy claimed that he was selling me. That is going to be the halacha. In the shvela that he was selling me. Now the Gemara continues. Hash das was hafki. The Gemara says, wait a second. Now we explain that the nafkamina is with regards to buying and selling, and what the lashonas are of people. Kula nami lemekach hamemkar. Everything is the significance of buying and selling. Meaning, if I said I'm selling you a harim, I'm selling you a mountain, it has to have milin in it. It has to have these nuts trees. Amakim, if I'm selling you something in the valley, so then I also have to have dekalim. I would have to have date palm trees. That's what the Gemara is saying. That this is really the nafkamina. Okay, now we're up to the next mishnah. Next mishnah is very important. Makom shenagu limkar be magdaka lenachrim. So we're in a place where they follow the minhag not to sell small animals to non-Jews, like sheep or goats or things like that. Limkor, that you are allowed to sell them, then obviously you'd be allowed to sell them in that place. Makom shenagu limkor, in a place where they have the minhag not to sell these type of animals, the sheep and the goats, in Mochrim, we do not sell them. So now, however, why would you not? Because of the next part of the Chomakom in Mokram in Magasa. It's really usher is to sell them live and large animals, because large animals is the Xerah Darabatim that we're afraid that you're going to sell them or lend them to a non-Jew. He's going to work them on Shabbos, and that would be an Isra Daraisa of that you have to have Ata Uvincha Vitecha Vemtecha, that your animals have to be Shavas on Shabbos. So we're afraid of that Isra Daraisa, and therefore the Rabbanim made Xerah that a person is not allowed to lease out these animals to a non-Jew, lest he work them on Shabbos, and that would be your animal working on Shabbos. So then, the question, Lechora, according to Rashi, the others explain differently, but we'll go with Rashi, is that that's why there was the Makom Shenagu with regards to the Minog on a small animal, because the small animal is Atu, the large animal. So we're saying, if it's just large animal, so then it also goes on a small animal, lest you come to also sell them large animals or not. And now also when it comes to these young animals, the healthy animals, that these can be mixed up with large animals, so then everyone agrees that that'd be usher as well. Rabbi Yehuda Mater Bishvur, however, Rabbi Yehuda says that selling a maimed animal is going to be mutter, because they're never going to get confused with a large animal, and then it's okay. And Rabbanan, said it's okay to have to sell a horse, because what's the whole reason a horse is usher on Shabbos? What's the non-Jew going to do? He's going to ride a horse on Shabbos. Riding animals on Shabbos is an exer darbanan. We learn that in Gemara in Shabbos, because you're going to come to pluck off fruit trees. You're going to come to pluck them off on Shabbos. So it's exer mishum that. So that's all darbanan. So that'd be a exer lexera, that you're making exer not to sell them lest they come to work on Shabbos. What are they doing on Shabbos? The worst they're going to be doing in Isra darbanan. So therefore, we're not, Korbe Basera doesn't think we should be gozer on a horse. Nowadays, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that we're not machmir on selling animals. Why not? There's a lot of different reasons given the poskim in Yerdea, Ayin Sham, that we're not machmir on selling animals to non-Jews. Malcolm Shinagu Lechot Sliv Leil Psachim. So now we mentioned a different minhag. This is Nogea very much for our current times as well, that the minhag is to eat roasted, not to have to follow the minhag to eat roasted meat, then it would be okay. Ochlin Malcolm Shinagu Shalol Lechol, in a place where the minhag is not to have roasted meat, then and you should not have roasted meat. So why should I not have roasted meat? Because the Korban Pesach was specifically supposed to be roasted. That was the din. So many of the minhag that you should have it a zecher. Why not have a zecher? Others say, no, it looks like you're having a Pesach, Korban Pesach. So therefore, you should not have tzli. Now, really, that's a shaila. It was never an Isser Darbanan. It was only a Makom Shenagu. However, the Ashkenazic minhag, it's in the Mishnah Berurah, seems to be that we are machmir, should try to be machmir, to not have tzli on Pesach. This comes up. It's to have like a barbecued steak is very problematic. To have all these things that a lot of different types of meats, how you're going to make them. Again, they have to get into the halakha getters of what tzli is. I don't have time to get into all that right now. But everyone should be careful, make sure before Pesach, to find out how, if you want to serve meat, what the best way to do it is, not to have tzli, to make sure we're choshesh, not to have it roasted. Halachic roasting is going to be very problematic. In Ochlin. So now the Gemara continues. Amar v'dem Rav. Also, Adam Shalom Rabbis is a Pesach. It's forbidden for a person to say that this meat is for Pesach, because we're going to think that you're going to say that you're having this meat that it's going to be for the korban. The nishanira can make actish mentor. You're saying that this animal is going to be a korban v'ochel kachim b'chutz, and therefore you're eating meat outside your shalayim, and that's aser. So therefore, designating an animal l'shem Pesach is aser. This is halacha l'mayis. Also, we say that we generally say l'kavod. Let's say l'kavod tzukis. You're going to buy something. So when you're buying the different meats, the different products for Pesach, I think we make below plug, you should just say for everything, just say l'kavod yomtiv, don't say l'kavod pesach, because maybe it could be kedushas damim. Basically, Gemara Hamshach is going to discuss a little more, but l'maisa, we say don't say l'kavod pesach, you should say l'kavod yomtiv. Amar papa, davka basa, that this ruling is specifically by meat. Aval chitila, when it comes to wheat though, which is clear that's going to be for matzah, the main basically where you're saying that I'm watching it, I'm saying this is the shame pesach, it's going to be watching it that it shouldn't become chametz. That's what I'm talking about. So therefore, it shouldn't be any shalom when it comes to wheat. Again, I think the post can bring down is that we're machmir on all other foods also, that everything you're buying, even in the stores, if I'm not mistaken, that also we say better not to say l'shem Pesach, because the kavod Pesach, because maybe it's going to be that you're designating that amount of money, you're going to sell that and make that money for you're buying korban Pesach, so better to avoid the shiloh. Vasar lo, the Gemara says it's really true, that meat is a problem. Meisivei, Amar Rabbi Yossi. Tudus Yishromi, Tudus Yishavromi, we're going to see in the next daf, if he seems to be a big tzaddik. So he has been Romi, so he had a minog in Rome. Le'echol gedim mekulasim le'ed Pesach, he would have full-fledged roasted animals of a lamb on Pesach night. So that is that he would do that in order to have the minog of to be mekayim what they used to do in the minog when they had the actual korban Pesach was al karava kirba. They has to have it fully, like imagine like in the butcher there was like a full animal over there on the spit. That's what he had them do that as a minog for zeicher the mikdash. And the Gemara says shalchol the rabbanim sent back to him yumala todos after if you're not being the great todos because I don't know if then I would have put you in chayr, I would have put you in nidoy excommunication for doing that. Why? Because it looks like you're causing the Yidin to have Korban Pesach outside Yerushalayim. It doesn't look good, so therefore you should be machmir. So Rav just points out the fact that he was told as such a great person, that shouldn't change the halacha. We see many examples, like Rav Eshev quotes of three or four in Shas, like Kavim and Mahalal and Rabbi Elazar and different big tzaddikim and tanoim, who because of the fact that they stuck to their opinions against that of their Rabbanan, they put them in Chayram. So what's going on over here? So Rav Eshev says maybe they had the minhag before their Rabbanan decided to be gozer. And Yantav Sheni, just on yesterday's daf, that was a Rav. And Serban Rabbanan, we see that clearly you could put Rabbanim in excommunication. So whether the fact that he's so great, we're not going to put him in excommunication. So Rabbi Yashar says that maybe it means that they had this minhag even before the Rabbanim decided to answer it. So once the Rabbanim answered, they said, well, listen, we already have our minhag. So then they said, okay, you know what, you're right. Maybe the fact that you have your minhag. Someone told me, my chavrusa told me, that in Rome they still have this minhag. I don't know, it's Pella, it's Mamisha. This would be a very old, 2,000-year-old minhag. That if they really have kept it through straight and straight, that they still do this. At the end of the day, the Rabbanim say not to do this, but I guess that was their minhag for 2,000 years. I guess we could still be screaming about it, and they could still be doing it if the Rome and minhag in Rome is still, they have very, very ancient minhagim, very authentic minhagim, and this would be one that's straight from 2,000 years. We have a Mishnayos times that they've been doing this. It's a fascinating thing if they still do this. And the Gemara continues, Kachim, so now going back to our Gemara, the Gemara says that does it really mean that you're actually feeding them Kachim? People think that you're having them the Korban Pesach? No, Ella Ema, turning on the next one now. Korav lachelas Yisrael kachim mechutz. It looks like they're having the kachim outside of Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says mekulos in. So now, how is this again? We're fleshing out the question of Rav. Rav said that saying l'shem Pesach is a problem. The Gemara says that this implies that only adafka mekulos is a shaila that have this on the spit in this manner, which mamish looks like it's a korban Pesach outside of Yerushalayim is the problem. Shein mekulos lo, however, other regular meat doesn't seem to be a problem. It's not a problem. So how could Rav say that designating meat for Pesach is a problem? So now the Gemara answers for Rav Amrei Mekulas. Now that Mekulas is going to be Asher Loshna Loshna Amrei. It doesn't matter what you say, if it's Lashem Pesach or just say Lakavad Yomtiv. No matter what you say for eating it in that spit in that form, which Mamish looks like a Korban Pesach, is Asher. However, Sheina Mekulas with regards to the non-roasted ones. So then Pirish in, if you explain specifically it's for Pesach, then it's going to be Asher because again it looks like you're having Kachim Bechutz and Lo Pirish Lo. Whereas if you don't specify, it's not going to be a problem. Now the Gemara continues. Rav Acha Masne La Hamasnisik Rabbi Shimon. Rav Acha taught this Lashon of Todus and Rabbi Shimon object. Of Totodus instead of Rabbi Yossi. Maskil, Rabbi Yossi has a problem with that. Bishlam and the Madras and Rabbi Yossi. If you explain like Rabbi Yossi was teaching this price, then I understand it. Nicha, that it fits that Totodus was having the Jews have Korban Pesach outside Yerushalayim, that's what it looked like. Alamad Master Kershim, you're going to tell me it's the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Minicha, Rabbi Shimon is objecting to this. Why should you object to it? Vasna, we learn in a Mishnah. And she's speaking about someone who wants to bring a nedava, minchas nedava, from barley. You have to have, normally the halacha is that a person has to bring the mincha from barley flour. If a person says, I take a mincha from barley, so then that's not existent, rather. No, you're not allowed to bring barley. Rather, you have to bring it from chita. Sorry, you have to only bring it from chita. So if he says he's bringing it from, I'm bringing a mincha which is going to be of Seora. So then the Shaila is, what do you do? So according to the Tana Kama in that Mishnah, he says that you have to bring a regular mincha wheat. We just ignore the fact that you made a mistake on the second part. Because Tafas Lashon Rishon, he says, I'm bringing a mincha. Afterwards, he says, of Seor, we ignore that Lashon. However, Rabbi Shimon says, no, we do. Rabbi Shimon argues, and he says, Rabbi Shimon put there that you do not bring a mincha, shalom, kederach hamis nabdin. That the Lashon of Afbigmar Dvarav Adam Nitbas. At the end of the day, a person, both statements that he makes, we're going to analyze. And the fact that he says he's bringing Seora, it doesn't mean that he thought he can bring a thing of Seora. And if he's not able to, then he doesn't want to bring anything. That is going to be totally void if he doesn't want to bring it. Meaning we combine both statements. So we see that Rabbi Shimon is understanding that when it comes to this halacha, that we go after both of the guys' intent. So according to this, so how would Rabbi Shimon have a problem with Torah having the Jews to have Pesachim outside the Beis HaMikdash? At the end of the day, he never designated an animal for Korban Pesach. He already shechted it. He's talking about ready-made meat. So if the ready-made meat is not an issue according to this. So then there was no hektish, and there was no gilei das, and according to Rabbi Shimon, that should not be, if you say, hello, this is L'shem Pesach, it wouldn't be an issue because of the fact that we afek mar advar, adam nitbas, we go after your full-fledged thought. And clearly, you did not have intention to have it for a Korban Pesach. So the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Amar le Ravina Ravashi, Mandam Kalei Rabbi Yosi." But now you say the lashon of that brayso was Rabbi Yosi who objected to this. Is that really better? Minicha, is that really better? V'amar Rava, doesn't Rava tell us Rabbi Shimon v'shitas Rabbi Yosi Amra? That Rabbi Shimon is saying his ruling with regards to the barley. He was using Rabbi Yosi as a springboard for this. How do we know this? The Amar Afigmar Nitbas. At the end of the day, when it comes to the lashon, Rashi says the Mishnah and Tmura tells us if a person says something is going to be a Tmuras Ola and Tmuras Shlamim. So what do we do with this animal? So according to Rav Meir in that Mishnah, Rashi says that it's going to be Tmuras Ola, because that's the first thing you said, and then you said Shlamim afterwards. It doesn't matter. That's similar to the Tana Kama in the Mishnah in Menachos that we say that we go Tafas Lashon Rishon. However, Rabbi Yosi argues, and he says that he meant both. You can't say two things at once. You can't say Shlamim and Ola at the same exact time. He meant to say both. So what do you do? You have to wait till it gets a mum, sell it, and use half the money for a Shlamim and half the money for an Ola. So we see over here that according to the Shita of Rabbi Yosi in this Mishnah, we see that a person is going to be understood to be going after his das. So since we go after his das, maybe when it comes to Pesach also, we should say that it would not be a problem then, because he clearly is not having it L'shem Pesach. So the Gemara says, so the Amar my love, the Amar Shimon, Rabbi Yosi, now you're sending, Rabbi Shimon was quoting Rabbi Yosi, so clearly he agreed with Rabbi Yosi, so shouldn't also Rabbi Yosi, now Misavar Rabbi Shimon, so Rabbi Yosi also, with regards to Nedava as well, in the case of Menachos, shouldn't he also agree that the Lashon of shouldn't you agree to that principle that Rabbi Shimon was stating? So the Gemara says, lo, no, you don't have to assume that he is agreeing to the principle of Rabbi Yossi is agreeing to Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon said, like Rabbi Shimon regards to Rabbi Yossi that we would go nitvas adam rishon and could go after the person's machshava. However, lo, Rabbi Yossi said, like Rabbi Yossi doesn't have to agree to Rabbi Shimon, and that means the following, that when it comes to the Tana Kama, so Rabbi Yosi would agree that when a person makes a mincha, a neder of Seora, that at the end of the day, we're going to say Tapas Lashon Rishon, that we're going to take his first Lashon and say that he really meant to give a mincha, and the fact that he said barley, we ignore that. Whereas Rabbi Yosi, with regards to Af Abigmar Adam Nitbas, that you can say that that we're gonna also go in that, but here it doesn't matter. With regards to Rabbi Yosi though, you could say that Rabbi Yosi would say, Ein adam motzi dor levatala, a person doesn't say anything for nothing. Therefore, when it comes to the fact that a person said something, we're introducing this other principle, Ein adam motzi dor levatala, which means that maybe in this situation he's saying that this is L'shem Pesach, really intended to take effect, and therefore it would be problematic for the kachim aspect over here within Shitas Rabbi Yosi, and that would be different from Rabbi Shimon. Okay, now the Gemara continues. Ibailu. Todos Yishromi. Now this whole story that we had in the Brisa about Todos Yishromi, that they were going to go there, I love his communication, but they decided not to because he's a great person. Gavar Abba, is he actually a great person? He's a Tamil Chacham and a big Tariq, and that's why they didn't, because of his Kava, they didn't excommunicate him. Or Baal Egropinaya, or maybe he was just very powerful and they were scared of him. They were scared of the retribution that would happen if they did not listen to him. So the Gemara said, if they did put him in excommunication. The Gemara says, Tashma, Odzo Darashabi Shoshami. So the fact that we're quoting now a Drusha that he expounded and we're quoting it, so clearly he was a Tamil Chacham, and that's why they did not put him in excommunication. What is this drasha? Ma'ra'u, it's Mamisha in the name of our parsha. Ma'ra'u Chananah Mishael v'Azariah. What did Chananah Mishael v'Azariah see from the fact that they decided to put themselves in the fire furnace in order to be Do Kiddush Hashem. So what in the world is going on over here? So in the Sefer Daniel, it talks about Nebuchadnezzar made a big golden statue, and he tried to force Hanina, Mishael, Azaria to bow down to it. So the Shaila of the Gemara is, why did they decide to die as opposed to bow down to it? So the obvious question the Rishonim is that, so Rashi quotes, so Rashi discusses that normally we have the concept of a Chaybem. A person should live by it and not die by the Torah. That any halacha, a person tells you to violate, you don't have to violate it. So the big question in all the Rishonim on Rashi is that that's an exception is the big three. That when it comes to the big three, that even in private, the person, even if it wasn't in public, you have to violate the big three. That's the example of Yareg Val Yavar, that you actually have to give up your life and not do it. So that's why the Rishonim are bothered by the way Rashi has it. So Tosos explained maybe it wasn't actually a full-fledged Avodah Zarah. Maybe it was something that he made for his kavod. I was mesupak about that, whether that's the similar thing in North Korea. If a person ever visits North Korea, then they have to bow down to the statues of the leaders. So I don't know if they mamish holds Avodah Zarah or not, but maybe you can assume it's only kavod, in which case that'd be a shaila of whether or not you have to be moser nefesh. But either way, we see over here that according to this, it was only first kavod, so maybe that's why they didn't have to bow down. According to Rida, Shaila is why didn't they run away? That they could have the opportunity to run away, so that maybe they should have run away. Or other Rishonim explain that maybe they should have committed suicide. We know under certain circumstances, mutters commit suicide as opposed to have someone make you do an avera. So this maybe was an example that they should have committed suicide. So now the Gemara says, so either way, so why? Where do they learn it from? So in this week's parsha, the Tzvardeya that came about. So in the fact that Tzvardeya, because what happened to Tzvardeya? Matzvardeyam she'ni mitzvim al kiddush Hashem k'si behu. When it comes to Tzvardeya, they are not chayav in kiddush Hashem, and yet it says by them va'alu vava secha uvisan rech mishrecha. They're going to go into the fiery ovens. Emas and misharis b'tzuyos until tanar. They're going to go into the next the oven havei omer b'shasha tanukham. They're going to the oven when the oven is hot. They're killing themselves by running into the fiery ovens. So they're doing kiddush Hashem, and we're not even mitzvah al kiddush Hashem. We're not even commanded in doing kiddush Hashem. Of sanctifying, they were not rather. So Anu, so we are commanded to do Kiddush Hashem. So then, Alchavas Kama Kama Chomer, Kava Chomer, we should be mafmer to give up our lives. I was just very bothered by this whole thing. At the end of the day, Tzvari doesn't have any bechira. So what in the world is going on over here? How are you learning from something an animal doesn't have bechira? The same thing with dogs. He's bothered by it. The Gemara says that we rewarded the dogs because we had this before earlier that we rewarded the dogs because they didn't bark. At the end of the day, Hashem told them not to bark. They don't have bechira. They're not chosen what to do. So LMI, maybe it's because of the fact that Hashem commanded had them do it in this way even without their bechira. So they went in and they did it. So that Hashem actually commands us to do Kiddush Hashem the Kal Vachomer. Maybe that's the Kal Vachomer. The Gemara says either way, Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin Amar. So the Gemara now says that was the Kavach HaMer. So the Gemara says that Todas also he made sure that they had a parnasa. He took care of them that they were able to have merchandise to sell. Rashi says in order to have a parnasa. Then Rabbi Yochanan says, whoever gives a parnasa to Tamina Chachamim zocha v'yosha b'yeshiva shalmala, he'll be able to be in the yeshiva shalmala and be zocha shenemar kirtel chachma b'ktel kesef. He'll be able to sit in the yeshiva shalmala in the base midrash when they're having in Shemayim. That base midrash, he's able to sit in there. Rabbi Yochanan just points out if he doesn't know any halacha, he doesn't know anything at all. Then what's the big mile? He's gonna be bored there also. So Rashi says no, he's gonna be nene shchina, that the shchina is gonna be there, so he's gonna be nene even if he doesn't understand a word of what's going on, he's going to have the Shekhinah be with him. Now the Mishnah continues. They have the minhag to light a lamp on the night of Yom Kippur, to light candles or a lamp, whatever. Madlikin, you could light that candle. However, the minhag is not to light a candle. In Madlikin, you don't have to light. Madlikin, however, you should light in the shul so to be able to daven at nighttime and be light. For sure, if it's dark alleys or for sick people, then you for sure can light. So why was there a minhag not to light on the night of Yom Kippur? We're going to see in a moment. The Mishnah says, Tana. Whether they say dafka to light or dafka not to light a candle, they were both having the intention of one thing. That is to prevent relations between a husband and a wife. The ones who say to light is going to remind yourself that in a room with a light on, it's usher to have relations with one's wife. So the fact that you have the light in the bedroom, you're going to remind yourself that it's usher to have attachments with your wife. That's an iser deraisa on Yom Kippur. Shaila actually shown him the chamesh inuim deraisa or not. Lachor, it's an iser deraisa. And therefore, we avoided it by making this gzira. And the other one said that dafke should have it dark, is that you shouldn't see your wife and become attracted to her. You see her in the light. You're going to see how attractive she is. Then you're going to want to have relations with her. And therefore, dafke should avoid having a light. Now the Gemara continues that says, Amar Rabbi Yoshua said, Darash Rava Machuklam Tzidik Lirash Arat. Everyone is tzaddikim, and they're going to inherit the land forever. Ben Shem Lahadlik, Ben Shem Lahadlik. Again, whether it's said to light or dafke not to light, Shneim Slinitka Ela Devar Echa. They're both trying to have the kavana for one thing, meaning to avoid the issue of having relations with one wife. So the Maisa, what is the minhag now? It seems to be the the minhag is not necessarily clear. The Mishnah Berurah writes, the quotes of Yerushalmi, that it's actually better too late if you can. And what would the nafkamina be if you have a new community? So maybe we could say that a lot of people nowadays, we don't really know our minhagim, so maybe we could follow that Mishnah Berurah, a person should be lighting. But if a person does know his minhag, there are many communities that do know their minhagim still, so then you should follow your minhag for this also. I think there's yesh v'yesh, whether to light or not to light. And the Gemara continues, Amar Avidah Mar Shmuel, imarachin ala or ala b'motzei Shabbos. You should only light, make a bracha on fire on Motzei Shabbos, as we do, Borei Mara'esh, Ha'olel V'Tchilas B'riyasa, because that is the time the fire is creation, as the Midrash relates, that the Adam HaRishon was created on Shabbos, and then he was kicked out of Gan Eden, he was terrified of the darkness, so Hashem gave him the knowledge to be able to put two stones together in order to basically create, to be able to create light, so it had that effect on him. So now, to note, the Ran just points out an important har over here, that it's not a berchas hanenin ba'atzeh, that the light of the fire is not really a berchas hanenin, because at the end of the day, then you should make it every time you have benefit from lighting a fire. So we really hold it's really berchas shavach v'odaya, that it's really a berchas shavach v'odaya, it's only, you're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and when you're praising him, on the time when he created it, which was on Motzei Shabbos. The Chorah, we also hold it's a little bit of berchas hanenin, the other Rishonim maybe disagree with that, Ran, that's a shayla, because when do you, the nafkamina is also when berchas hanenin versus berchas shavach v'odaya, when do you make the bracha, and also putting your hands there to have the hana, is that when should you make the bracha? Before you have the hana or after you have the hana? So that's an afkamina between the two answers, between that Ran and others who disagree with that. And the Gemara continues, and they said that Rabbi Yochanan actually said the same exact thing. So the Gemara now just relates a story about this. Ula. So they were walking alongside his right, Rabbi Chama was smaller, and Rabbi Chana was on his left. So Rabbi Abba said to Ula, "Vazid Amisa Mishmed Rabbi Yochanan is really true. What you said in the Rabbi Yochanan in Rachan Ula on Motzei Shabbos, you only make it on Motzei Shabbos, because that's when it was created." So Ula, he didn't yell at him; he just looked at him angrily. So he understood from that Rabbi Yochanan, you said that in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. It's not true. Rabbi Yochanan never said it. Amalei, I didn't say it in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Elahamri, rather I say it the following: the son of Tanakam Rabbi Yochanan, because it's in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. That Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Yom Kippur Shachalias B'Shabbos. If Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, Af Makom Shamar L'Sholah, like even a place where they do not light on Yom Kippur, meaning the minhag is not to light, Madlikim Nekav Shabbos, because you normally have the normal candle lighting on Shabbos, you should be lighting. Rabbi Chanan responded that the Chacham actually disagree, and they hold that even there on Shabbos, they should not be allowing a light on that Shabbos as well. So now, that is a statement I said to Rabbi Yochanan, but you said that I never say not to light only on Motzei Shabbos. That is not true. Rabbi Yochanan would say something else. So now, so Ula responded that really, oh, that's good, meaning I agree that Rabbi Yochanan really did state this statement. Okay, Mitzvah Shem, we'll pick up with Karilei Rav Yosef, Bez Hashem, tomorrow.